Well, hello. I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. Today's lesson is all about the power of your attitude. Now, Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. W.W. Zieg said, "Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude." And this program, Lead Yourself First, it's a process. It's designed to help you develop the leadership attitude you need today and every day. There's a lot of value in developing a positive attitude. I used to think my attitude was a consequence of the things that happened to me. I'm having a good day or a bad day, depending on what had happened. And in that scenario, my attitude was never my fault. I was just a victim. You made me mad. You allowed me to be happy. But what I discovered is that I had more power over that than I had ever even imagined. And using that power, I learned how to improve in my leadership and my influence and how to really get things done through other people. Now, before we dive into our lesson today, my question is always, at the beginning of one of these lessons, how are you going to act? What will you do to apply, change, or teach this information? Because these are the ways that we begin to really lock in the ideas that we pick up in a session like this. So what's an idea you can apply, something you can put into practice immediately? What's something you could change based on what we talk about today? What can you change in your approach? And teach, what can you take from this lesson and share with other people? Be a river, not a reservoir. Don't feel like you have to have arrived and you have to have everything fixed before you can begin to teach. Take an idea like this and share it with other people. Now, I often say this, but I have been really looking forward to teaching this lesson. I look forward to it because when you begin to shift your thinking about this, it transforms the way that you interact with other people. It's the difference between darkness and a bright, shining light. And if you apply it, it can be transformative. So in today's lesson, we're going to cover some of the best information in the world that I've been able to find about attitude. At the end of the lesson, the ball is going to be in your court. Will you do anything with it? If you do, it's going to work. These are time-tested and proven ideas. And maybe for you, this lesson's going to excite you about what you could do if you worked harder on this particular area. And for you, I promise at the end of the lesson, I'm going to share a way that you can go deeper. Fair enough? So let's get started. Let me ask you to reflect on this question. Does your attitude matter? Does your attitude matter? How does attitude reflect on your work and on the team's overall performance? I'm immediately reminded of a quote from the movie Office Space. Now, it's an old movie, but the writers really captured a lot about what's wrong with the way work often works or the way work doesn't work. And I think the reason that movie became a cult classic film is it reflects a lot of our shared experience of workplaces that often don't make sense. The main character in Office Space said, "My only real motivation is not to be hassled." That and the fear of losing my job. But you know, Bob, that will only make someone work hard enough not to get fired. Holy smokes, only work hard enough to not get fired? It's a great example of the employee's point of view, but what about the boss's point of view? Now, in my personal life, I've got 5 sons, and we're involved in Boy Scouts. And I'm an assistant scoutmaster, and I spend a good amount of time with boys. I love Boy Scouts because it's a great learning lab for leadership skills, for cooperation and teamwork. I watched last night as the senior patrol leader, the boy who's in charge of all the other boys, as he was trying to work through learning how to manage a group, learning how to facilitate a conversation and make a group learning experience happen. And he did a great job in some areas, and he struggled in some areas because we need a learning lab to help us find a place where we can succeed and where we might struggle. But then we fail, and we learn from that process. So in Scouts, we have the senior patrol leader who's in charge of the entire troop, all the boys in the group. And then the boys are organized into small groups called a patrol, and the person in charge of each patrol is called the patrol leader. Now, as you might imagine, there's often conflict between people. And what I love about scouting is it provides a place where boys who are learning how to lead can fail safe. And years ago, I remember we had a young man who was having a lot of conflict with his patrol. And as adult leaders, we're not there to fix every problem. We're there to help you learn how to fix the problem. And so we encouraged this youth to find a productive outcome, but they were unable to find a productive outcome. And eventually we had to step in to mediate the conflict. Now, I spoke with a particularly bright young man, and he had a strong sense of the way he wanted things to go. And he was stubborn in his position, and he was unwilling to work it out with his team members. He wasn't going to cooperate. He certainly wasn't going to concede anything. And I asked him why, and he said, "Because my team is stupid." Now, I assure you, from the years I spent hanging around young boys, that it is true that boys sometimes act foolishly. We all do sometimes, but particularly young men in groups. And I'm also confident that some of this particular issue is related to the leader and his attitude. If your boss has a bad attitude, that's going to be a problem. You see, attitude matters. It matters a lot. Charles Swindoll said, "Attitude is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than what people do or say. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill." I want to repeat that. Attitude is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances. It's more important than what people do or say, than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It's a big deal to think about your attitude. Attitude is very powerful, and it is worth you investing some of your energy in it. It's more powerful than so many of life's circumstances. It's powerful in my feelings about action and in my ability to influence others toward action. I often say no military commander ever tries to inspire his troops by shouting, "Follow me, we're all going to die." Our attitude is directly linked to success. Now, it's true that optimistic people are not always right. My dad was the eternal optimist, and often things did not fall his way. But the fact is that optimists are far better able to deal with the negative things that happen to them. Do you ever reading that book, Winnie the Pooh, when you were a child? Maybe you saw the movie Christopher Robin. My family loved that film. And I used to work with a man that I would tease about being Eeyore. Now, those of you who remember Winnie the Pooh may recall that Eeyore, he was a donkey, and he was, I'm telling you, he was the pessimist. Pooh's Eeyore would say things like, "I suppose that's the sort of thing you like, if you like that sort of thing." Eeyore simply could not find a positive in any circumstance. Eeyore had an attitude problem, and it often landed him in trouble. Having a bad attitude doesn't make your situation better. In fact, it often makes it worse. Because attitude takes the facts of your situation and it amplifies it. If you're in a bad place, a bad attitude is going to make the situation seem worse. But if you're in the exact same location and have a positive attitude, it shifts your thinking. It shifts the team's perspective. It can actually help you come up with more creative solutions to the problem. I like this quote from Earl Nightingale. Nightingale said, "A great attitude does much more than turn on the lights in our worlds. It seems to magically connect us to all sorts of serendipitous opportunities that were somehow absent before the change." Having a positive attitude helps you become aware of opportunities. It provides illumination to situations that help us see possibilities we had not seen before. There's an adage that says, when the student is ready, the master appears. And having a positive attitude equips you as the student to be ready so the master can appear. The master is already there waiting to teach you the lesson. Are you ready? Now, I know some of you, maybe it's you, you're saying, "Tom, I don't care the kind of attitude you have. Attitude's just not important compared to real skills. You can't convince me that attitude is more important than the ability to do the job." And you're right, and not so right. I mean, if I'm hired to be your brain surgeon and I have a great attitude and no medical training, that's going to be bad for you. But on the other hand, let's say that I'm not the highest skilled technical person. I'm just average or slightly above average in my skill. And you've got an assignment for me that's a stretch assignment. It's just out of my reach, or maybe I can barely reach it with my current skills. If I'm a person with a great attitude, I'm confident that I can make the stretch. And my confidence is directly linked to my probability of actually making the reach. On the other hand, let's say I'm super smart in my job, and you want to assign work to me, but I've got the world's worst attitude. I'm completely negative about everything. How much do you want to work with me? And if I'm struggling, how much do you want to help me? If I'm the person who's always critical and always negative and unhappy about things. And I'll tell you this, the research backs me up on this. While many people would say, I'd take one for the team, I would work with a brilliant jerk before working with a marginally capable person, when you look at human behavior, when you look at what people actually do, here's what happens. They avoid the jerks, and they choose the nice guy in incredible numbers. And here's the other thing that is troubling. When it comes to successful delivery of work at work, research studies show that overall success is only 13% linked to your technical or business skill. Only 13% related to your domain of knowledge, the thing that you do that you're really good at. Seriously, just 13%. Now, we all know that attitude is a challenge. It's a challenge for all of us. And I came across a prayer that may help you when it comes to your attitude. The prayer says, "Dear God, so far today, I have been okay. I have not gossiped. I've not lost my temper. I've not been greedy, grumpy, selfish, or overindulgent. And I am very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed, and from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help." Sometimes we need help with our attitude. And there's something really interesting about attitude. At one time, Andrew Carnegie was the world's wealthiest man. And here's what Carnegie had to say about attitude. I think this is fascinating. Carnegie said, "A sunny disposition is worth more than fortune. Young people should know that it can be cultivated, that the mind, like the body, can be moved from the shade into sunshine. Let us move it then." Man, that is so rich. There's so much good stuff in this one quote. I want to go back over that and talk about it a little bit. The richest man in the world said a sunny disposition is worth more than fortune. He was saying he would be better off to give up all of his wealth and go back to just having a sunny disposition, because with that he knew he would get the money back. The money was a side effect of the other things that he developed and created. Then he went on to say, young people should know that it can be cultivated. This sunny disposition, this positive attitude, is something that they can cultivate. You can grow a positive attitude. And then, this is rich, that the mind, like the body, can be moved from the shade into the sunshine. The mind, like the body. So in the same way that we know we can go to the gym and get healthier, we can go to the gym and get stronger, the mind can be worked as well. The mind can be mastered as well. That is so rich. I can't overemphasize the value that you can get from just camping out on this one quote. Now, remember I mentioned I worked with somebody that I called him to his face Eeyore. Well, my Eeyore at work, he was so negative that I think if you handed him a $100 bill, he would complain that it wasn't $200, or that it really would have come in handy if he'd gotten that $100 two weeks ago. Now, I got a story I love to tell about Eeyore. Despite his claims that the deck was stacked against him, I was able to prove that his attitude was completely under his control. His attitude was a choice that he made. Now, as my grandmother got older, she got to the point where she was no longer able to drive, and she asked me to sell her car for her. Now, this really was that car, that used car that was driven by the little old lady to church on Sunday and to the grocery store. And I knew that Eeyore was looking for a reliable car for his son to drive to college. And I asked if he might be interested in buying it. Now, there's one thing I know about cars. They need maintenance. There is always a story to tell. There is something that's going to break or wiggle or rattle or even fall off of a car. And when Eeyore said he was serious about buying the car, I wrote up a contract. Now, I knew that I did not want to hear from him for the rest of my life about how terrible that car was for him. And I also knew that Eeyore was, well, he was tight with a dollar. And I wanted to protect myself. And I had a flash of inspiration. So the purchase agreement that I wrote up literally said, quote, if the buyer ever complains about anything related to this car, he will immediately pay the seller $5 cash for each negative statement. I literally put that in the contract, and I put it in front of Eeyore. And when he saw it, he smiled broadly. He laughed loudly, and he signed the purchase agreement. Now, over the next several years, you know what happened? Eeyore never, ever said a negative word to me about that car. He and his family drove that car for another 160,000 miles. And for the next several years, every single time I ever saw Eeyore, he would smile and he would make a point of telling me what a great car that was and how it was working for him, how well it was working for him every single time. You see, for Eeyore, his complaining had become a habit, but he could choose to be positive. I'm sure over the years that car needed all kinds of work, but Eeyore never mentioned that to me. He focused on the good parts. Now, it's important that we all have challenges and setbacks, and that's a reality for us. Not everybody's having a good day every day. And the fact is that people who get divorced or quit jobs or have a bad attitude, they are able often to turn difficult times into better times. Now, as I'm getting ready to wrap up this lesson, I'm going to close with one of my favorite stories. It's a story about a Canadian goose. Now, there was this goose who started thinking about flying south for the winter, but he was tired. He was sick and tired of making that trip south every year, and he said to himself, winter simply can't be that bad. I'm staying. So as the rest of his friends headed south, he stayed. And day after day, the temperature dropped and dropped and dropped, and there was less food, and he was getting more and more and more uncomfortable. And one day, in mid-November, a particularly cold and wet and drizzly day, he thought to himself, I have made a mistake. I have to get out of here. So he took off in the rain, and he flew upward toward the clouds, and he turned south. But he had a problem. See, once he got to the higher altitude, his wet wings got heavier and heavier. There was ice starting to build up on his wings. It got harder and harder to flap, and it wasn't long before he just couldn't flap his wings anymore. He couldn't keep flying at all, and he started to fall down toward the ground, and he was certain that his doom was soon to come. And as he tumbled, he finally was able to regain a bit of control over the descent, and he fought through the ice and through the pain. He managed to glide his way into a minor crash landing in a barnyard. But he was gasping for breath, and he was sure he was still going to die. And about that time, a cow in the barnyard steps over him and drops a big plop right on him. Can you imagine? The goose is thinking, here I am, about to die, and this cow comes and drops a plop right on me at the end. Could it even get any worse? But enveloped in the warmth of the plop, the ice begins to melt. And warming up, the goose gains some hope. He thinks, I'm going to live after all. And filled with joy at the prospect of living, he begins to sing. Now, hearing the singing bird, the barnyard cat comes over. The cat carefully removes the plop from the goose, and then he eats the bird. From this story, I take away three lessons. One, everyone who drops a plop on you is not your enemy. Two, everyone who cleans a plop off of you is not your friend. And three, when someone drops a plop on you, keep your mouth shut. That's a silly story. I hope it made you smile. The bird's attitude about flying south is what got him in trouble, and letting his emotions control his behavior got him in even more trouble. The fact is, we have the power to choose. We choose our attitude. So it's almost time in this lesson for you to create your personal action plan. And as you're getting ready for that, I want to walk through what we talked about today. First, you choose your attitude. What have you been choosing? What's your attitude like? If you're honest with yourself, I mean really honest, would you say that you're Eeyore? Are you that person who's a dark room or a dark cloud? You think about your attitude and the attitude that you bring to the workplace or to your social organizations. How are you affecting the people around you? It's been said that all people bring light to a room. All people bring light to a room. Some as they arrive, others as they depart. Are you the person who brings light when you show up, or are you the one that light shows up after you leave? What is it that you need to do differently from an attitude perspective? As you think about the way that you operate, what are the things that are triggers for you, that trigger you to go negative? And this idea, I think, is a powerful one. If you are intentional about finding things about which to be thankful, grateful, or positive, it changes your attitude. And what if you could pick at the beginning of your day to find two things each day that you're happy about? Now, of course, you can't be happy about everything. But what if you could be intentional about looking for and seeking out two things to be happy for? What are you going to do to work on your attitude? What's the one idea from today's lesson you're going to apply, change, or teach? And maybe you're listening with some other folks. How's the team attitude? What could your team do to get better with the attitude stuff? Now, for those of you who are interested in going deeper, I've got a 4-session workshop coaching program on team attitude and performance. What would it be like if you guys were working together, if you were working on your attitude to make a difference? If you could bring that positive attitude, if everybody on the team could bring a positive attitude. The cost is $199 a person, and it's 4 sessions. We'll go through the great resource on attitude and how we can be intentional in our attitude and managing our attitude at work. If you're interested, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.